I'm very pleased to introduce Professor David Joris Lier. He is a professor in human geography at the University of Oslo and completed his PhD at the University of Manchester. David has published widely on union strategies, the mobilization of civil society, and the agency of labor, both within the public and the private sectors, with an empirical scope ranging from Africa, South Africa in particular, and as well as Norway. So please, David, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Anders. First, I would like to say that what I'm going to do now is to give you a broad introduction to the Norwegian temporary work agency industry. So some of this will have been covered by Lea's excellent introduction and also by Per. So I'll try to skip over what is overlapping. What I will say now is based on a mapping study that we did almost as a baseline to start off this project. So I've been asked by Anders to kind of update this mapping with some new information. So hopefully this is up to date, but fill me in. Feel free. I will focus on three aspects of the industry. First, I will say something about how this industry is growing, because I think it is still an emerging industry in many ways, even though it has a long history in Norway, and it is still differentiating. And it seems to me that at every stage of this growth, it has been contested by the various actors in politics and also in the labor market. So we can talk about contested growth. The other point I will dwell on is the relationship between regulation that Lea was talking about and the making of temporary agency work as a market, so market making. And the last point is that I will focus on the industrial relations in this industry, and I will try to depict the industrial relations in this industry as a struggle over the legitimacy of the industry as such. But let us first take a quick look at the industry itself. Who are the dominant actors? I think last time I checked, there are more than 1,500 staffing agencies registered with the Norwegian Labour Inspection Authority. Brutalt arbeidsliv. But when we are talking about the industry as such, we are really talking about some very large players. So the industry is dominated by, in Norway at least, by some very large actors. And I think even by international comparison, the dominance of two firms in particular is quite characteristic of the Norwegian market. So Adecco and Manpower, these numbers are quite old now, so I'll give you an update later. But they are constituting around more than 20% of the market each. What you can also see is that the main firms have in common that they are what we can call generalists. So they do not specialize in a particular market, but they differentiate across different niches and sectors in the Norwegian economy. But then there are also some players that are what we can call specialists. So they specialize in niche markets like IT services, construction, and health. So these are the two main types of firms that we see in the Norwegian market. If we look at the ranking from last year, we can see that the pattern is more or less the same, although some of the firms have swapped place in the ranking. And there's also some newcomers that specialize in what we can call the emerging markets for temporary agency work, such as construction and health. If we try to look at this process of growth in a longer perspective, we can see by looking at these two main sets of statistics that this industry has really grown significantly since the early 90s. It's been a more or less sustained period of growth with a dip after the financial crisis in 2007 and 8. This figure is reflected both in the NHO service figures, which is the industry association, as well as in Stats Norway's numbers, which take account for all firms in this industry and all kinds of employment in this industry, not just labor hire. Another important measurement of the size and trend of this industry is what the industry calls the penetration rate. This was already alluded to by the previous speakers. So these are the dark red columns that you can see. And the penetration rate has risen from the early 2000s until the financial crisis, quite significantly, and also in a period where the share of direct temporary employment in the economy in total was in decline. So that's quite a significant trend. But after that, the share of temporary agency work and the share of temporary employment in the Norwegian economy has been relatively stable. And the share of temporary agency work, which we call the penetration rate, is around 1.1 or 1.2%. And now Leah has already compared this in depth between Canada and Norway. But if we look abroad, the comparison to other European countries, as well as to the European average, as well as to many of our neighbors like Sweden and Finland, Norway at 1.1 ranks relatively low. So that's quite important to take account of. But we are higher than a country like Denmark at 1.8. And that is something I will come back to later. But behind the aggregate figures, there is considerable unevenness. And some of this was said already by Anders, but I think we should go reiterate this and go a little bit into detail. For instance, temporary agency work is unevenly distributed geographically. So if the industry itself reports an almost 10 times higher penetration rate in Oslo than in Nord-Trøndelag, which is a rural county. Also, it is unevenly distributed across sectors. For a long time, this was limited by law to the office sector, but since 2000, there are certain industries that have been what we can call emerging markets, and Hedda and others will go into some of these later. But you can see that warehouse and logistics is a significant market for the industry, as well as construction that has had a growth from making up 14% of man-hours till 32% of man-hours in only a six-year period. And also, and this is important, temporary agency work is unevenly distributed across different groups in the labor market. So if you are registered as living in Norway, there is around 1.5% of us that work in the temporary work agency sector. But for those who are not registered as living in Norway, the percentage is around 20%. This is from a Fafo report in 2011, so the numbers might have changed a little bit, but it does say something about the link between this industry and migration. Migration is an important driver in this industry. Which is apparent when we look at the workforce broken up into the categories Norwegian workers, Scandinavian workers, other EU workers, and the rest of the world. So while Norwegian workers make up the brunt of the workforce in the last 8 or 10 years, there has been at least until 2013, a steady increase of workers from Sweden. And we can also see that, does this show well on the, you can see the purple? And you can also see that other EU workers, which are mainly from Eastern European countries, are steadily taking up a larger share of the workforce. Okay. So thus far, I've mainly described some trends and in a relatively descriptive fashion. But I think it is important to keep in mind that this, the way this market changes is not just an industry reacting in a neutral way to market forces. It is also important to take into account how different actors make up this market. And I think there are three important things to say about that, at least three things. One is that the temporary work agencies themselves are not neutral intermediators in the labor market. They are also, and this point has been made in global research on the staffing industry, they are making markets actively themselves, both in terms of lobbying for legislative reform, but also in terms of creating new products that serve different niches in the market, which Peck and Theodore has called flexibility packages. So by offering different products, they can expand their market. The other is, of course, the importance of regulating this market and the importance of regulation more broadly, because it is not only the regulation of labor and labor law that shapes the market for temporary agency work. It is also the regulation of migration. And the last point is that, maybe contrary to popular opinion, it is not so that the temporary work agency industry wants or even thrives in a deregulated labor market, in a completely deregulated labor market. In fact, there are labor markets with much more deregulation than ourselves that have a very low presence of the temporary work agency industry. So we should rather think of the market for temporary work agencies as created in a regulatory mix between, on the one hand, the regulation of direct temporary employment, and on the other hand, the regulation of the industry and the services that it offers. So this is my reading of this, but at least to my mind, the ideal regulatory mix for the temporary work agency industry would be a strict regulation on direct temporary employment and a lax regulation on the industry itself. And this regulatory mix has shifted, and this is part of Per's historical account, but it has shifted in the last 20 years. So first you had two sets of legislative change that was favorable to the industry, with the limitations on direct temporary employment in 1995 and the deregulation of the industry in 2000. But what has happened in the last, say, 5-7 years have been, I think it is fair to say, more ambivalent for the industry. On the one hand, you've had the implementation of the EU directive on temporary work agencies, and importantly, the additional legislation that the government put in place. And also, more recently, you've had a loosening on regulations on direct temporary employment that was not followed up with a loosening of regulations on temporary work agencies. And I'm not sure whether I will really venture into a reading of this graph, but just look at it. To me, this is the same growth chart, but it is broken up into gender categories. It does tell me that regulation has played an important role in shaping this growth, but not on its own. So it is mediated by market forces, by economic cycles, and by the regulation of migration. So you have this initial phase where direct temporary employment was restricted. It did facilitate a growth, but in a predominantly female-dominated office sector. And then with the deregulation, it did not create, at least not straight away, new jobs for female temporary agency workers, but it did open up this market to male-dominated sectors in the economy. But the real growth came with the EU East enlargement in 2004, which lasted until the financial crisis sent the market into decline. And the last few years, I think, are a little bit complex to read, to analyze, but it has been affected by several factors, both by the implementation of the EU, or the EU directive, of course, and the principle of equal payment, by the drop in the oil price and unemployment in the oil sector in the west part of Norway, as well as, I think, rising wages in for nurses working in Sweden, which might have affected the female temporary agency workers differently than the men. Okay, and then I'll try to... I do have a little bit more time than 2 minutes, right? 5 minutes, thanks. So I'll say something in conclusion about the industrial relations in this industry. Because I think, to start out with, the industry itself poses some challenges for what we normally call the Norwegian or Nordic model of industrial relations. And this was introduced by Anders, by the principle of a triangular relationship. What happens to this relationship when in the workplace has been a main concern for this project, but what also happens at the scale of national industrial relations is quite interesting. So what we see at present is a well-organized capital side. NHO service, which includes the temporary work agency industry, it is not only about that, but it's an important part, estimates that they organize around 80% of the industry. So that would be quite an impressive figure. And I think that ever since it was known as the Autoriserte Vikarbyråers Forening in the 90s, it has been an influential actor. So it is an important lobbyist, and it's also an important producer of knowledge. And I think that the sheer extent of NHO service statistics used in this conference and in most reports on this industry testifies to the importance of NHO service as a... an actor in this industry. But the level of organization on the capital side has not led to a lot of collective agreements. It is still a very weak set of industrial relations in this industry. And I will not go into these points because I don't think I have time. So the capital side contrasts with a organization of labor in temporary agency work that I would characterize as weak, with low unionization rates, and I think also weak forms of representation. This is not uncommon, but there is no separate union for temporary agency workers, and there is also, I think, relatively little focus on recruitment. And this was also mentioned by Per earlier on, recruitment of temporary agency workers by the trade unions. But I suppose a positive development in industrial relations has been that tariff agreements in the client industries have incorporated since 2012, this is my understanding from talking to trade union representatives, have incorporated the expanded powers that trade union representatives at the local level in the workplaces have for co-determining labor hire practices. And this is a part of the additional legislation that followed with the implementation of the EU directive. So, in summary, I think that we can talk about an asymmetrical industrial relations in the temporary work agency industry. And I think that this asymmetry has to do with struggles over legitimacy. On the one hand, you have the capital side through organizing and through its institutional presence actively trying to frame itself as a serious part of the industry. And this is something we hear a lot in the debate, that there's a serious part of the temporary work agency industry and there's an unserious part, which I think holds a lot of... makes a lot of sense to say this, but it is also about being taken seriously as a partner in industrial relations, to be a serious partner in negotiations with the trade union side, and being open to critical research. And I think that the openness to us as critical researchers in this project testifies to how NHO service attempts to be taken seriously as an industry, and sometimes they also say as an employer like anybody else. But this is where it runs into conflict with how the trade unions look at this. Because to my understanding, the trade unions are reluctant to legitimize an industry that they politically oppose. So, of course, this might explain some of the reluctance to engage in a social partnership model in this industry, but I think it also can explain why there is so little active recruitment and active recruitment strategies from the trade unions on temporary agency workers, that it is seen as legitimizing the industry itself. Okay, so, but with that, I think I will end and take some questions.